Hi there, welcome to the Animals Naturally podcast with me, Suzanne. I'm founder of Taranet, a leading international animal healthcare resource at taranet.co.uk. The aim of this Animals Naturally podcast is to give you ideas and tips on how to care for your animal more naturally. There's a whole world of complementary therapies that your animal, whether large or small, can benefit from. In this special edition of the podcast, I'm having a conversation with international best-selling author and animal communicator Annie Burke. Annie has conversations with animals living and in spirit to convey messages and provide peace of mind for their human parents. Animals are her passion, and her mission is to raise global awareness of the importance of animals. You'll hopefully find many things in this interview and conversation interesting and which will resonate with you. You can find more information about Annie's work in my natural pet care blog at taranet.co.uk, where Annie has actually already written a couple of blog posts, which you'll find in the natural pet health blog. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Annie. Hi there, Annie. I've got Annie Burke with me today, who's going to talk to me about animals, and hopefully you'll find this really interesting. So, Annie, can you tell me a bit about your work with animals, what you actually offer?
Okay, thank you for the invitation to be on your show, and I'm happy to share a little bit about what I do. I'm the animal-human relationship enricher, so you could call me a coach for animals and their humans. So I have conversations with animals who are living and in spirit, and that's telepathic communication, which is how animals communicate with each other. And because I can connect with animals through photographs, I can connect with an animal anywhere in the world or in spirit, and then I can answer the questions that their human parents have. So particularly if they've changed behaviour and the parents want to know why their behaviour has changed, I can ask them. So I'm not a vet and I'm not an animal behaviourist, but because I'm a communicator, I can just say, look, why have you changed this? What's going on? Also, if they've got health issues, I can ask what's going on. And I've discovered in some of my conversations that animals can take on some of our health symptoms for us so that we don't have to bear the full brunt of the condition. And it's happened so often now that when a human tells me that their animal's got all these health issues, the first question I ask the animal is, how many of these are your issues and how many are your humans? And I spoke to a dog recently and she had a long list of different conditions. And when I asked her the question, the only thing that was hers was anxiety. Everything else she was taking on for her human mum and her human mum's mum. And the anxiety was because she was worried about her human mum. And she was only a little dog and it was actually making her quite unwell, taking on all of these illnesses to support everyone else. But it's something that animals are happy to do. They love being of service for us and helping us. And a lot of them are helping us behind the scenes that we're not aware of. So finding about health issues is something I can do. For bereaved animal parents, I can connect with the soul of their animal in spirit. And often people are holding on to regret or remorse about their animals, like if they didn't know that they were sick, and sometimes they blame themselves and think, you know, should I have picked up something sooner that something was wrong? Would I have been able to give them a better, longer quality of life if we'd found something out? So I can find out what's actually been going on. And so if the humans weren't there when their animal passed away and they didn't get a chance to say goodbye, or if they don't have a diagnosis, and I've had that a couple of times where people just don't know why, I can ask them. They've got good medical knowledge and they let me know. So I spoke with a dog who'd passed away and he'd actually had a blood clot. So just something entirely random, and that gave his family so much peace then, because they knew that he didn't blame them for it. He knew it was a random event, and that was just something that happened, and then they could have some peace then. And then I can also find out if they know that they're coming back for an energetic visit, and that's something that the souls in spirit can do to help support us. And so we might see them in their old physical body, even though they don't own a physical body anymore, or we might hear them vocalizing, or we might feel them. So some people feel their animals jumping up on the bed or snuggling in next to them, even patting them on a paw. And so I can ask, you know, what signs are your humans going to feel when you come back for a visit? So all of those different kind of things I have in conversations. And then I also offer animal communication mentorship, where I work with animal parents one-on-one for a 3-month program, and I work with their animals behind the scenes as well. So we prepare for all the exercises we're going to be doing to learn telepathic communication. And that includes verbal messages and visual messages, and also sending emotions and feelings. And it's just so fascinating seeing the extensive vocabularies that some of our animals have and the words that they use. I also offer an overcoming animal bereavement program, again working with animal parents for 3 months to help navigate through the grief process. And that includes a couple of mediumship conversations with their animals to get their questions answered, and also healing. So I provide distance healing support for animals and humans, using a combination of Reiki, energetic healing, crystal therapy, and clinical aromatherapy. And they're all natural modalities to help support the healing process. I have a podcast called What Animals Tell Me, where I share some of the amazing experiences that I've had, but I also work with interview people who work with animals in unique ways. So I share some of their stories as well. I present free masterclasses every month for animal parents and talk about all sorts of different topics just so that they can understand their animals on a deeper level. And then I've also written 2 books which are available on Amazon as paperbacks or ebooks. So
that's the Bridge to Animal Consciousness and the Guide to Spiritual Awakening, Evolving Hearts and Souls.
Yes. And I'm actually writing my 3rd book now, because the animals have taught me so much since I wrote my 1st book that I really want to share the wisdom that they've been sharing with me. I feel as though I'm their voice, and if they tell me things, I want to share their messages with the world. Yeah. So
what
that's
animals,
some
that you work with then? You mentioned dogs and obviously
lots of dogs, cats, horses. I've had birds, I've had snakes, all sorts of different animals, because they all understand telepathic communication. And I love going to zoos and talking to all sorts of different animals. So I've spoken with crocodiles and bears and all sorts of animals. And it's just so interesting, because usually I'm the first human who's ever spoken telepathically with the animals that I speak to. And most of them are just really pleasantly surprised and really eager to answer their humans' questions, but it gives them a chance to pass on their messages as well. And sometimes they've been, you know, wanting to tell us things for ages, and here's their first opportunity. Sometimes the animals think it's a bit weird, and I've had one go, "Ooh, weird, a human speaking animal," like they just weren't expecting that at all. But most of them are just delighted. And, you know, once they get over the surprise of a human connecting with them, then they're really happy to talk. And it's just, you know, whatever they want to tell me, conversations are a free will choice for animals. So I can't force them to answer a question, and I can't make them talk. So if they don't want to answer something, I have to respect that. But I've only had 2 animals in zoos who didn't want to have a conversation. Every domestic animal I've spoken with just really wants to talk to their humans and answer their questions. And it changes the bond with their parents afterwards. All the parents tell me afterwards that, you know, the animals are more affectionate, they're looking at them differently, because they know that you've arranged that conversation, and that really means a lot to them that you've cared enough to ask the questions and get the answers. So I had one lady who really wanted her cat to be a lap cat, and he was more aloof than a lap cat. And she messaged me the next morning after the conversation saying, "Oh, he snuggled up in my arms and went to sleep there, and now he's a lap cat." So it's just fascinating how powerful it is having conversations. But even for people listening to this session, if you just have a running verbal conversation with your animal, knowing that they understand every word that you say, that will change the relationship. They love hearing what we're doing and what's going on in our world. They just want to be involved. So even if you're going out to the shops to buy dog food and dog treats, tell them, especially animals who get anxious, if they know where you're going and when you're going to be coming back and having confirmation that you are coming back, that can really reduce their anxiety. And they understand the concept of time. So you can say, "I'm going out for 2 hours and then I'll be back." They count down the 2 hours, and then they're ready for you when you come back. Similarly, if you're going on a holiday, you can say, I'm going away for three sleeps. This is the person who'll be looking after you. Then I'll be home. For animals that have experienced abandonment before, having you going away can be quite stressful for them. So telling them what you're doing and where you're going and when you'll be back really helps them.
That's really interesting that you picked up on, I've picked up on what you said about animals understanding what you said, because I think sometimes people do sometimes speak derogatory to animals. I think that sometimes people speak derogatory to each other as humans, to human, don't they? And they sometimes talk like that to the animals. I often think that's a bit disrespectful from what you, but people would say they wouldn't actually understand, but from what you've just said, absolutely they would understand.
Yes, and that's a really good pickup. And yes, I probably didn't make that clear, but animals do understand every word that we say. They have a very sophisticated understanding of English, and some of them have got very extensive vocabularies using words I've never heard of. In doing my animal communication mentorship classes, I've actually had to look up some of the words that animals have sent because I've never heard them, and neither of their parents, and they're in the dictionary. So they haven't explained how they know the words, but they definitely know them. So that for those of you who think that your animal understands know and walk and that's it, you're wrong. They do understand everything, and they can read our energy really well. So they know if we're sad or upset about something, they'll deliberately come and spend time with us to cheer us up. They might even do something really wacky just to make us laugh, because they know they can do that, and that will change the mood and that will help us. And the same if we get sick, we normally vibrate at a certain frequency, and our animals are really sensitive to that frequency. And as soon as we get sick, our frequency drops. They know, often before we're consciously aware. So again, they might come and lie next to us or lie on us. They want us to get well as soon as possible, because we're their world. They want us there to interact with them and maintain their routine.
Interesting, actually. I know talking about animals distracting us or giving us, making us laugh. I know sometimes I've been driven to despair. What at the time appeared to be despair, trying to chase my horse around the field to get my horse in. But actually, it's probably because if I'm in a bit of a bad mood, perhaps for whatever reason, for work, then actually completely takes your mind off of it. In hindsight, you can see actually that was the horse saying, yes. Actually, chill out.
There's a method to their madness.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing animals.
And that, they just are like, I just call them walking barometers, because they know our moods so well. And it's interesting because they are so intuitive and perceptive about us. I've actually had one of my clients tell me that her cat knows her better than she does, because he was just so astute and so aware of what was happening in her world that he was seeing things that she wasn't seeing. So it was interesting being told by your cat what's really going on. But you know, they just say it as it is. They're really honest, they're pure souls, and they want us to have constructive feedback from them. So nothing's negative or nasty. I've had a few people saying they're not game enough for me to have a conversation with their animal because they don't know what they're going to tell me. But truly, they just are such beautiful souls, and some of them are just absolute comedians. I just never know what they're going to tell me, but they do make me laugh. I had to speak with a horse who'd run into an electric fence, and he'd actually burnt himself on his chest, so he was in pain, and he said to me, oh, that was shocking. Now, he totally understood the pun on shocking. He thought that was really funny, and I just thought, well, good on him. He's in pain, but his sense of humour's okay, so you just don't know. And I spoke with another horse, and her mum wanted to know whether she wanted to try a bridle that would mean that she had no metal in her mouth, and the horse started singing Alleluia to me. Now, I'd never had an animal sing to me before, so that was a first, and I was totally impressed because she sang it really well. And I thought, you know, kudos to her. She picked such an appropriate song to answer the question. She was obviously very excited about not having metal in her mouth. Mm. So they're just so clever how they answer questions and how they get the information through. And they can share how they're feeling. So if the animals have got pain somewhere, I'm actually a clairsentient, which means that I can feel things. So I can ask the animal to let me feel in my body what they're feeling in their body, and then I can feel their pain, and then I can tell their human that, you know, there is a musculoskeletal condition and this is where they're feeling the pain, and I can tell them, you know, they're feeling 9 out of 10 intensity of pain. So they know what they need to do. And sometimes the animals actually tell me what treatment they'd like. They're aware of all the different healing modalities and they can tell me what they'd like. And I can also feel their emotional status. And some of our animals are still grieving for another fellow animal who has passed away, and they let me feel that grief. And so losing an animal is one of the most difficult things we have to deal with. And it's hard because we've got to deal with our grief. We support the other human members in our family who are grieving. Our animals who are still with us know that we're grieving, so they'll be trying to cheer us up, but they want us to help them with their grief as well. So it's a matter of thinking, you know, who is affected, what can we do to support them? I had one lady I spoke with whose cat was best friends with a rabbit, and the cat used to hop in the rabbit hutch and they spent all their time together, and the rabbit sadly passed away. The cat was just devastated, just not himself at all. And I just got this message that mum had to get a soft toy and roll it around in the straw in the hutch so it would have his scent on it to help soothe him. And she was so smart, she went and got a soft toy and she actually put the straw inside it as well as rubbing the scent around the outside. The cat just loved it, carried it everywhere, rolling around with it.
Amazing.
It really just helped him go through the grief. So, you know, sometimes we just have to think laterally and think, you know, how can we support this animal? What can we do to help them get through? Because grief's such an individual thing. There's no time limit. But I think it's just being conscious that our animals maybe dealing with that. And the other thing that they've taught me is that a lot of our rescue animals are still dealing with the emotional or psychological impacts of whatever's happened to them before they've been a rescue animal. And so, yes, their physical scars may have healed, but a lot of them I've spoken to are still dealing with issues. Some of them get triggered by certain things. So people will say their animal just cowers when, you know, they hear a male, you know, loud voice or something, that or they'll want to go and hide. One of the dogs I spoke to said that when he gets triggered, it's like this automatic response in his brain. And he said he had no way to override it and just bizarre things would happen. And it was just a learnt response to certain triggers. He just expected that something was going to happen. And some of them just do go into this automatic flight, fight, protect mode. They just want to protect themselves from anything awful happening. So again, it's finding out what are they still dealing with that they're happy to talk about, and what kind of support would they like to help them so they can lead a more fulfilled and happy life.
Yeah. What challenges do you speak and do you find in your work? I know you spoke before about say one of the owners of parents didn't want to hear what you had to say, perhaps. They do you find it barriers from humans and wanting to understand, or
look, I think, animals want to share? They're open to hearing what you say. Like the people who ask for a conversation have to be open on a level to the fact that animals can communicate, because if you don't believe that they can communicate, then you're not going to book a session. And then it's working out what questions do you really have for your animals. And then it's listening to the answers that they say. One of the questions I get asked for animals in spirit is, who are they spending time with on the other side? And obviously the parents are expecting to hear their names of their other animals in spirit or other human family members that are in spirit. But interestingly, some of our animals make new friends in heaven. And so when they describe who they're spending time with, the humans are just, you know, who is that? I don't know them. And it's kind of like an anticlimax or a disappointment because they don't know them. And I thought, well, I'm not making this up. This is what your animal has told me. Like sometimes they show me, and so I can see and I can say, look, one of them was a grey dog that kind of looked like an Alsatian, and there was some other little dog. So I could describe what they looked like because I was seeing them through the animal's eyes, but that just meant nothing to the humans because they didn't know who they were. But I think people are just really grateful to get answers to their questions, but also particularly for animals in spirit, knowing that their soul has transitioned safely is such a relief. And that's what the animals have taught me, that their soul endures. So that relationship that we have with them continues. And because they're a soul in spirit and the soul endures, we can always contact them. So I've had a conversation with a dog who passed over more than 20 years ago. So there's no time limits on being able to connect with them. And for me, that's really reassuring for the humans to know that, yes, their animal soul is still there and they can still connect with them and get peace of mind and get answers to their questions.
Yeah. So what have you found the most surprising in your work? Is anything most surprising, like the length of time perhaps that you just mentioned there, 20 years or anything?
Yeah, no, look, I think one of the most phenomenal things that the animals have taught me is about animal soul reincarnation. And I knew nothing about that till one of my cats let me experience it. And she wasn't very old and she had no health issues and she just suddenly passed away. And that was a huge shock. And she was one of my original animal communication teachers. And I didn't know how long I'd have to wait to connect with her on the other side, but at least I was in the unique position where I could connect with her when she was able to talk with me. And she was able to talk on that same day that she passed away. And so I said to her, "What did you do that for?" And she said, "Oh, I needed a new body," in a tone like that. And I thought, "What?" And she said, "Stop being so sentimental. I'm coming back." And she described what she was going to look like. My boy cats weren't in the least bit worried that she wasn't there. They weren't pining. They weren't off their food. I was the only one who was upset because she'd told them what she was doing and they knew she was coming back. And they actually said to me, "Oh, it's a temporary reprieve till she's back to boss us around again." So I rang up the breeder and I said, "This is going to sound really weird, but you're going to have a kitten who's going to be born and she's going to look like this. And it's really important that she comes back to me." And she did. And like within 2 days, she's lounging on the boys, using them as pillows, trying to eat their food. And that's what everyone else who I've helped with since says, that, you know, within a couple of days, it's as though they just went away, had a temporary, you know, holiday, had a full body makeover, and they're back. Sometimes they look very similar. Sometimes they're completely different. Sometimes they completely change species because that's the body that's available for them to come back in. But it's the most phenomenal thing to help with grief, because you've got that animal soul back with you again. And even if they look different, you feel it in your heart and in your soul. You know it's them, and you've just got this gift of having a second lifetime of love with them. There's no words that can really describe that. And I just love that. As part of my work, helping people to find their animals and to bring them home again, and seeing the before and after photos and hearing all the stories. And I've just had another client that's happened with recently, and she waited nearly 6 years for her dog to come back, and he's just come back in a rescue puppy body. And he's just sleeping in the same pose he slept in when he was with her, sleeping in the same spot that he used to sleep in. And she said, "He's just so calm. You know, he knows where everything is." And they do. They know the house. They know the people. And they just settle back in again really quickly. And that's just amazing. It's not every animal's destiny to come back. So if they can't come back in this lifetime, they can help orchestrate for another animal to come into our life, because they know that we need healing. And that's a question I get asked as well. Did you send this animal to me to help me? So, yeah, it's interesting finding that out too.
But how did you discover your gift for being able to communicate with animals?
Apparently it's a gift that we all have when we're young, and we can all do it. And then something happens as we grow up and we just switch it off. But it's something we can reactivate again. And so I got my gift reactivated again over 12 years ago now, only because I'd always thought that the animals could understand me, and I wish that I could understand them. And I had a little ginger girl cat, and sadly she passed away after a very short illness, and it just made me feel as though I'd missed an opportunity to know her on a much deeper level. And that inspired me to go and look for an animal communication course, and I found one online. And the image of the cat on the webpage looked exactly like my cat. And I just thought, you know, there are no coincidences. So this is a sign that this is what I'm meant to do. And I've spoken to her since about that in spirit and said, "Look, you know, I really feel as though I missed out getting to know you." She's got no regrets at all. She said that was her job, to get me on that path, because she knew that this was what I was supposed to be doing for my life purpose. And she's achieved that. And I see her, she appears in meditations, and I've gone, I've picked her up, I've felt her, and I've heard her purring, and I've seen her running along a footpath in front of me. And it's just beautiful still being able to connect with her. But now, because of that, I've been able to talk to so many animals and help them and help their owners to better understand each other. And it's something that I'm now teaching as part of the mentorship program, because I'd love more animals to have their humans be able to talk with them directly and understand what's going on, and being able to tell them whatever they want to tell them when they want to tell them. And it just, yeah, much richer, deeper relationships when we can communicate telepathically with them. And I mean, they're trying to communicate all the time, but until we can do it telepathically, they've got to look at us with their eyes or change behavior, which is the most effective way to get our attention, or body language, or vocalizations, just to let us know something's going wrong.
Yeah. So what does your mentorship program look like?
I've done a series of 11 short videos for people to watch as foundational videos first, just to get them understanding what telepathic communication is and how it works. And then they need to read my book, The Bridge to Animal Consciousness, because for a lot of people, that's helping to activate their telepathic communication channel. And then we set up a series of fortnightly mentorship sessions for an hour where we go through a series of exercises with their animals, and getting them into the right mindset to be open to getting the messages coming in. Because it's quite different to normal conversation like we're having. Because when they talk, you actually hear the voices in your head. It's not audible in your ear, but they've all got different voices, just like humans. And it's just so weird the first time it happens. Because you know it's not your inner dialogue voice, and you're hearing this voice you've never heard before telling you something. Or they can send images, so they can send you pictures of things, they can send you letters. So if they want to send you love, they can send LOVE as little letters, and you just see the letters appearing in your head and you know what the word is. Or they can actually send little videos. And again, I don't know how they do this, but I ask them if they can show me. If I can't understand what they're trying to tell me verbally, I ask them to show me. And then I end up with this video in my head, which explains what they want to tell me. Or they can share their feelings and emotions. And so we can feel in our body the emotion that they're trying to send us. So all of those different ways are what they do. So we practice sending all those different kinds of messages. And I actually work with the animals before each mentorship session just to go through all the exercises that we're going to be doing so they understand, because it's very new for them. They've never done it with their humans before. And one of the cats said to me, it was just so good to be using his brain in a different way. Like they love it. They think it's great fun and coming up with all these different words that we didn't know that they knew. And things like sending different numbers and sending phrases, like we build up the complexity of the kind of messages that we're sending over time. And then also introduce talking with their animals in spirit, so that they're confident with doing that as well. So at the end, they can talk with their animals, living or in spirit. They've been trying to talk to other animals now. And once you can talk telepathically with your own animals, then you can talk to any animal at zoos, in the wild, doesn't matter. They universally understand what we're saying. And it doesn't matter what language you speak, because I speak English to every animal that I talk to. I've had a lady I chatted to recently. She speaks German with her cats at home and they understand her. But she said if she randomly says a word in Spanish or French or something else, they all look at her and think, what did mum just say? Like, so they're aware, but some of them just seem to be multilingual. They're just so talented. And I've spoken to a lion. And he was actually having conversations with a number of us simultaneously, different conversations. So he was connecting with us all individually, having individual conversations at the same time. And I thought, wow. So some of our animals are very advanced souls. And, I understand they've had multiple lifetimes. I don't know whether people listening are open to past lives or not, but I know personally with my animals, some of them I've had past lives with. And our animals may have been humans with us in past lifetimes, or they may have been animals. And so what I'm finding now is that people that who have an incredibly strong bond with an animal and they don't know why, it's because they've had a bond with them before. So sometimes it's our childhood pets who have reincarnated and they've come back to have another life with us. It may have been a child that we've had in a previous life that's come back to be with us. So it's finding out, how you two known each other before, and can you tell me about one of your past lives together? And I had an animal recently who said that they were together in Houston, Texas in 1919. Now, I didn't know whether Houston, Texas actually existed in 1919, so I did some detective work with Uncle Google, and yes, it was definitely established in 1919, and that's where this animal was with their human. So they know stuff about their past lives. Most of us don't, about our past lives, unless we've had a past life regression and see some of what's happened in our past. But the animals are very conscious of what's happened in the past. And I think that's partly why they're so intelligent as well, because they know things that have happened in the past. But I had this funny cat I had to speak with who loved splashing his water out of his water bowl, and a lot of them do, and his mum wanted to know why, and he told me. And I said to him, oh, do you want to tell mum anything else? And he said, does she want an existential expose on the physics of displacing a volume of water?
Wow.
And I just listened to that and thought, wow, okay. He totally understands the question, to paraphrase it back like that to me. And yes, technically he's correct, because he is displacing a volume of water pour. But to use existential expose, like, they're not words we use in everyday language now. Yeah. But he, you know, the way he constructed the sentences and what he told me was, you know, correct. And that's why I said, now I've just learned to expect the unexpected, because I just don't know what they're going to tell me. So every conversation for me is basically a learning opportunity and understanding more about how intelligent they are and what they want to share.
Yeah, that's great. Now, that's, we could talk for hours. There's so much information, knowledge you have. Is there any websites or anything you'd recommend people finding?
Yes, my website is www.cosmicheartintuitive.com.au. So you can connect with me through that, and I've got information about some of my services on there. I haven't uploaded the information about the animal communication mentorship yet, but you can contact me and I can send you the program PDF and set up a Zoom chat just to talk to you about the program. You can also email me, and my email is chintuitive@bigpond.com. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook as Annie Burke, B-O-U-R-K-E, so you're welcome to connect with me on those platforms as well. And I advertise my free masterclasses on Facebook and LinkedIn, so you're welcome to join them. They're Zoom online events.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. And I'll post those links to the audience in the in a moment, in the show notes as well. So thank you very much. It's lovely to speak to you, and I shall speak to you. I hope you found that interview and conversation with Annie Burke of interest. Hopefully you'll find lots of things in there that, on reflection, if you didn't at the time, will actually make a lot of sense to you in your caring and love for animals. You can find lots of information about complementary therapies for animals at my website at taranet.co.uk. Or you can find information about Annie's work at cosmicheartintuitive.com.au, as she mentioned in her conversation. You will find information and links to these websites all in the show notes as well. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.